really a great, powerful passage. And we're going to emphasize something different in the passage this morning than we normally do. But I do want to give a nod to what we usually kind of tackle in this passage. As we honor teachers this morning, I want to give them a nod. Because you teachers are someone who often suffer for doing the right thing a lot, right? And that makes your job a lot harder. Sometimes when you deserve a thank you, you get flack instead. Sometimes you gotta be the bad guy, when in reality, you're trying to help kids succeed. You're trying to maintain order. And so I know that's a really frustrating thing when people are mad at you for doing the right thing. It's part of being a teacher. It's also part of being a Christian. And sometimes it's just a part of life. I want to zero in on the different part, of the gentleness and respect part of this, because we've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, and gentleness is one of those. But what this passage is getting at is, at some point, when you are walking the Christian walk of faith, you're going to stand out. Sometimes you're going to look good because of it. But sometimes people might think you look bad, almost deviant, too countercultural. And you're going to be questioned. Again, sometimes these questions are good, but sometimes they're bad. Sometimes you might be challenged. You know, so you might hear things that I think are good questions. Why would you help that person? They don't deserve that. Their bad decisions put them in that situation. Why would you do that? Or why would you forgive that person when you should be like punishing them, when you should be disowning them? Or why do you keep expecting more out of that person? Why do you keep holding them to such a high standard? Why don't you just let them be? To each his own, right? Or we might be questioned about, why do you believe this or that about God or the Bible or mankind? And we need to have answers ready, is what this verse in Peter is saying. But sometimes the questions Christians are asked, and I think it's kind of Peter sort of alluding to this, we need to have an answer ready. Because they're actually connecting points with us and outside culture. They're connecting points to help us to be more understood and build a bridge. Yeah, I've had times where people have essentially asked me, like, why do you even care about me? Why would you do this for these people? And that's a great time to tell people about the love of Christ. Because someone did that for me. Because somebody cared about me when nobody else did. So the questioning is an opportunity to build bridges and be understood and to tell people about Christ. Sometimes the questions are more antagonistic, though, right? Because some people don't like Christians or don't like the church or have been hurt by Christians in some way. And this passage, it's really even kind of views even the antagonistic challenges as connecting points with others, as ways to build bridges with those who don't know Christ. Because they're not our opponents, and this world isn't a battleground. Peter says, be ready to make a defense when people question you. Full of gentleness and respect. So, not in a condescending way, not by yelling, not by posting a passive-aggressive meme, not by telling people how dumb they are, and not by sending that scholarly article that proves your point. There's a lot of ways we try to engage that are not with gentleness and respect. Gentleness, and he says gentleness and respect because he's reminding us this is not war. Our war is not against the non-Christians. They aren't our enemies. They are not people to be destroyed or condescended. They are people to be welcomed. And so I think it's interesting. Why does he add that in there? Why does he add that in there? That it needs to be with gentleness and respect. Okay, maybe one is because all people are created in the image of God. And all people have this inherent value in them, and they should be treated as such. They should be treated with grace and respect and gentleness. Or is it because if we treat them with gentleness and respect, we're more likely to be heard? We treat them with gentleness and respect, maybe they will actually listen. Maybe it'll actually bring out change if we approach them in a way where we're building a bridge. And so I would think maybe it's yes to both. Yes, treat them with gentleness and respect because That's how you're supposed to treat people. It's the right thing to do regardless. You treat people with love and gentleness and respect. But it's also, do you want it to work? Do you want your words to work? Do you want to be listened? Do you want to bring about change? And usually yelling doesn't work. Usually condescension doesn't work. Christians, church, if you want to impact the world for Christ by using force, anger, yelling, condescension, attacking, hypercriticism, it's not going to work. We kind of proved that it doesn't work. But those people, our opponents, the people who don't know Christ, they aren't our enemies. They are people we want to impact for Christ, to bring them into the fold. Anger, power, and meanness doesn't do that. Gentleness and respect is a small thing that we can do to start building a bridge. We've all heard the phrase, might makes right. You heard this? It's kind of this idea that those in power choose what is right. The victors get to write the history, and they get to tell the story about what happened and how bad their opponents were and how good they are and how morally upright they are. Those in power get to choose what is right. Those in power get to paint the story of how good they are, and they get to choose what kind of wisdom to follow. And there's really we've seen that in history. The people who have the might and the power get to decide what's right. But that is not the counterintuitive wisdom of Christ. It is not the way of downward mobility. It is not the way of finding that there is strength in weakness. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians, we've kind of bought into this. We kind of bought into this idea that we should seize power to get things our way. But it's not the humble and gentle way of God. And it's harming the image of the church in the process when we're trying to use might to show everybody how right we are. And so really, we've almost kind of bought into this opposite idea that if I'm right, I can have, it makes might. It can make me powerful. It can make me, if I'm right, it's okay for me to condescend. If I'm morally right, if I'm intellectually right, if I'm religiously right, then that means the other is wrong and I can be mean to them and I can exploit power over them and I can belittle them. So sometimes when we think we've got it right, we think it makes it okay to be hateful to people. And we're really off base there. Even if we are convinced someone is wrong or morally wrong, it doesn't make it okay for us to condescend them and try to have power over them and try to put them down. So first, being mean and condescending, it has no place in the church anyway. But second, you might also be gentle because you might be wrong about something. We kind of talked about this in class. We don't know it all. There might be something that we are wrong about. And if you have a gentle approach with anybody, if you listen enough, you might see that. You might be able to see things differently. And it might be easier to change if you discover you're wrong, because really the opposite, if I'm so insistent on how right I am, if I'm telling people they're dumb, if I'm talking down to people and saying, I don't know how you could see it any other way, if I ever discovered that maybe there was an error in my way in any way, if I ever discovered that maybe I was off base, it's going to be a lot harder to change. It's going to be a lot harder to change when I was rude and hateful to all these people that I thought I was morally superior to. So maybe if we just have a gentle approach at all times, we can learn and we can be, it'll make it easier to change. It'll make it easier to change our way. We don't have to eat all this crow whenever we decide to change our minds. Because the bigger jerk you are about how right you are, the harder it's going to be to change when you might find out you're wrong. And if you're thinking, well, what if I'm never wrong? Then we have another conversation that we're going to have here. It is harder to humble yourself when you have been so insistent on your rightness. It is harder to humble yourself when you've been so insistent on self-justification. And maybe some of you in here are thinking like, oh, so Brady wants us to be gentle. Well, that's weakness. First off, it's not Brady who wants you to be gentle. The Bible does. The Bible tells us to be gentle a lot more than we think. It's in there a lot more than you think. And it's weird because in my experience, Christians have always kind of been okay with violence. You know, generally we're supporters of wars. I mean, not all of us, generally speaking. I remember growing up, and maybe some of you guys would identify with this. I don't know. Growing up, like watching movies, cussing and nudity were not okay in movies. But violence was. Braveheart's cool. We'll just fast forward through a couple of scenes. Violence was generally okay. And I kind of thought, like, why is that? I'm like, well, there's violence in the Bible, so maybe that's why we were okay with it. I'm like, dude, there's also some pretty raunchy stuff in there, too. And if you don't realize that, you're missing some cool stories. But there is a time and place for power, for strength, and even anger. And Jesus showed us that. But it's rare. Gentleness should be our default state. Gentleness should be our default state. And we've already covered the gentleness of Christ during communion. Galatians 6:1 says, when someone's caught in sin, restore them gently. 2 Timothy 2:25 tells teachers that if somebody's challenging you, you need to correct them with gentleness. One of the requirements of an elder. A requirement of an elder. 1 Timothy 3:3, gentleness. And so gentleness is not weakness. It's not being sissy. It's not being soft. To me, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Gentleness takes a powerful self-control. Gentleness takes a powerful self-control. When you want to punch, when you want to scream, when you want to punish, when you want to control others, gentleness is the self-control that makes you take a different approach. Gentleness helps you deal with people kindly, carefully, calmly, humbly, and lovingly, even when you don't want to. Even when your body temperature and your emotions are saying, that's not the way to do this. I want to be angry. I want to yell. I want to scream. And look, I just want to be like fully honest with you guys over this whole series, looking at the fruits of the Spirit. I struggle with all of them. I'm preaching to myself. And gentleness is one I am not good at. We've been looking at, at the all-church retreat, we had the different, like, fruit juices of the Spirit, and you take a little bit of whatever you need. I need a whole bottle of gentleness. It is one I am not doing well, and so I just, for my own self, I have to tell you, I feel like a fraud up here if I'm going to tell you I'm good at gentleness. I'm not. It's something I'm working on. But it's interesting, because in speaking of elders, the scripture specifically says they should not be violent, but gentle. It's almost kind of, there's an opposite there. As if to say an elder shouldn't force his teachings and beliefs on others through power, through saying, like, you know, believe this or get out of my church, or through manipulation. But by gently guiding those under his care in the way, by pointing them in the right direction, not by saying, here's what you have to believe. That wouldn't be gentle at all. So an elder helps those under their care to draw their own conclusions and to make their own decisions. A good shepherd doesn't tell the people how to think, but can kind of gently guide them in the right direction. Let them draw their own conclusions. That's kind of what gentleness is letting people decide for themselves. With a lot of us, in our attempt to control people or control our environment, or to in our attempt to avoid our own suffering, we try to control people. We try to get people to see things our way and do things our way, to do things in the way that makes us comfortable. And in that, we kind of try to get them to see how right we are. But gentleness does the opposite. Gentleness is exercising your power over self rather than others. Gentleness is choosing to exercise power over yourself rather than others. Rather than to try to control someone, to dominate someone, or rage at them, I'm going to control myself and be loving, kind, and careful. That's what gentleness is. And that takes a strong person. It's not weakness. Gentleness takes strength. And we kind of view meekness in the same way, right? We think meekness is like quiet and shy. No, meekness is a gentle strength. And because gentleness is not weakness, it's powerful. It's powerful. Most of the passages about gentleness are about bringing about change in others. In Galatians 6, it's saying, hey, if you're calling out someone in sin, gentleness will bring out that change. In our verse this morning, being gentle when questioned about your faith is about, hey, we kind of want to show these people a different side. We want to change these people. 2 Timothy 2, be gentle when someone is challenging your teaching. It's about being gentle so you can bring about change. If you really want someone to listen to you, if you really want someone to be impacted by you, if you want to lead someone through change, you got to be gentle. I think we get the idea of what gentle means, I want to give you three quick ways that I'm going to be working on gentleness in myself, and maybe you can join me in this. Some ways to be gentle. Gentleness gives people time to work through whatever it is you're asking of them. Gentleness gives people time to work through whatever you are presenting to them or whatever you are asking them to change. Rushing people to come to your conclusions, rushing people to see things your way, rushing them to get over whatever offense you did, that's not gentle. That's not giving them time to get on board, to think through things. It's not going to bring about change. Rushing people really in any situation is not gentle. I mean, I think of like just waking someone up out of bed, right? Sometimes you want to kind of gently wake them up. Hey, have a few minutes. If you're really, really being nice, give them a cup of coffee. Whereas sometimes it's like we're rushing. I'm like, get up. We got to hurry up. Hop out of bed. That's not gentle. That's not going to get the results that I want. So gentleness gives people time. Similarly, being gentle means letting people challenge what you're saying, letting people ask questions. It's not my way or the highway. It's not I've altered the deal. Pray I don't alter it more. It's letting them work through it themselves rather than just expect them to see it your way. Gentleness leaves kind of this room for, okay, here's what I'm trying to get you to do, but if you see issues with that, if you see a problem there, if you have questions, let's work through this. I don't just expect you to see it my way automatically. It takes time, and it takes allowing for some pushback. And so also tied with that is gentleness exhibits this humility. Gentleness and humility are tied together. It's tied together in our scripture for communion. And again, I've said this before, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. Humility is knowing your limits. It's knowing, I could be wrong about this. It's knowing you don't know it all. And it just, when you have that perspective, I don't know it all. There's room for me to learn. It just gives you this perspective that is open. A perspective that's not completely convinced of your moral, intellectual rightness. And it creates a gentleness and an openness towards others that makes it more willing to give people time. That makes you more willing to give people space, to ask questions. And so I want to leave you with I think it's a pretty cool proverb about the power of gentleness. It's Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Gentle tongue can break a bone. Look, force is not the only way and is rarely the right way. A loving gentleness should lead to repentance. A loving gentleness should lead to change behavior. And look, we aren't out to break bones, and that's not really what it's saying, but we are out to change hearts. Gentleness is powerful. Gentleness can do that. If you're here this morning and you want to receive the grace and gentleness of Christ, if there is any need, you have a gentle congregation that wants to surround you and pray for you. So we want to invite you, if you have any need, to come now as together we stand and sing.